Good morning. You're listening to Living Catholic, a local production of Divine Mercy Radio. Living Catholic is part of our Treasures of Faith series, where we explore the truth, beauty, and goodness of our Catholic faith. I'm Carolyn Dean, glad to be with you this hour on WDMC 920 AM. I'm sitting in the rectory conference room at St. Helen's Church in Vero Beach, Florida right now, across the table from Father Frank D'Amato. Father Frank is new to our parish, and we're trying to be gentle and break him in easy so he doesn't run away. Father Frank is also involved majorly, which is why I have him here today, in a new ministry that got birth maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago. Father Frank, you'll fill us in. It's called the Encounter School of Ministry, Encounter Ministry School. It's an amazing program that is all over the country now, started by two young men from my alma mater, Franciscan University. So I'm very excited to be a part of that. The other person that's going to be on today is the director of the Palm Beach campus of the Encounter School, Kim Engel, and she will be here shortly. All right, Father Frank, welcome to Divine Mercy Radio.
Thank you.
We're going to ask you to tell people about yourself a little bit. Are you a cradle Catholic? Were you convert, revert? What's your story for the Catholic faith?
Well, I grew up in a Catholic family. One of the major events during the week was Sunday noon mass. I grew up in St. Ambrose Catholic Church in Deerfield Beach, Florida.
Oh, so you're kind of a local guy. You're not from up north somewhere.
I was born in New York, but I moved here when I was a year and a half, so I've been here longer than most people who were born here have lived here. So, when I was, I guess, about 6 to 8 years old, I heard the Lord calling me to the priesthood.
No kidding.
And it just happened. There was an elderly priest named Father Timon who was walking by, and I said, one day I'm going to be a priest like him. And even at that
you
young age.
You said that out loud?
No, to myself.
Okay.
And I shocked myself. I said, did I just really say that? Little did I know that one day was when I was 51 years old. I was ordained at the age of 51.
51? Boy, you put the Lord off a long time, didn't you?
Yeah, well, someone says, oh, you're a late vocation. I said, well, the Lord, there is no late. It's his perfect timing.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you curiosity questions. I hope you don't mind. If you were only 7 or 8 or 9 years old when you heard that voice, were you involved serving at the altar? What motivated that to come to you?
I did not serve at the altar. I did not go to Catholic school. I went to, at that time, they used to call it CCD.
Oh, yes. Confraternity of Christian Doctrine, yes.
Yeah, so, I just, the Lord always had me in the palm of his hand, and as a matter of fact, when I told my family, my sister said to me, it's about time. I said, why didn't you tell me? No, the Lord's patient.
A lot of people, a lot of priests that I've spoken to have had similar reactions, but where, you know, like they will say, well, God was calling me, but I put him on hold, or I told him he had the wrong number.
Played Jonah for a while.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I dated. I was never engaged. I worked. I traveled all over the world with my job.
What did you do for your job?
I helped organize corporate conventions. And I also worked in the golf industry. I qualified many years ago. I don't play like that anymore. I qualified to be a club pro, like at a country club.
No kidding.
And right around the time I qualified for the program, to enter the program, I joined the Franciscan Order.
So As a secular Franciscan?
No, the Order of Friars Minor, Custody of the Holy Land.
Oh, OFMs, okay.
Who live and serve in the Holy Land. But yeah. But before that... Yeah, as I said, I was able to do both of these things at the same time. I worked full-time in the golf industry. And
were you wearing, like, your brown habit when you were swinging the golf clubs?
No, this is way before that.
Oh.
And I traveled all over the world about 100 days a year. I was able to do both jobs at the same time. It was a very unique situation.
Wow.
But the Lord used that to open my eyes and my heart, because when I would travel, let's say, to Italy for work or France, I would fly in a week early and visit holy sites. And little by little, the Lord was drawing me to him even closer. And it was after a pilgrimage to Lourdes in 2007 to volunteer with the sick that I was open to that call again.
When you were hearing this call and you were in the Franciscan Order, you weren't ordained, obviously, because you didn't get ordained till age 51. Were you a monk? I mean, a brother?
Yeah, I was. I had 2 years of formation.
Okay.
Before the novitiate, which is the year that religious life, you wear the habit of the order,
mm-hmm.
and you're officially part of the community.
Okay. And did you live with other members of the community? Or
I lived in Washington, D.C. for 6 months, Italy for a year and a half, and the Holy Land for 1 year.
But in a community house,
yes.
is what I'm saying, with other men. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow, that's exciting. And yet you still felt there was something missing from your life?
Well, when I was, discernment is a ongoing process, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes the Lord will lead you in a direction that you didn't see coming.
Mm.
So although the custody of the Holy Land is a missionary part of the order, I didn't really feel called to spend the rest of my life in the Middle East. So I came back to the United States with the intention of joining a province in the United States. And I was approved to profess my first vows, but I left my decision.
Left the order?
Yeah, you could do when you're a novice. You're not in vows.
Right.
And I said, okay, Lord, I gave it a try.
What was it that made you change your mind? Was it the food, the climate, the?
I just felt the Lord calling me to the diocesan priesthood. I knew it was, but still, I played Jonah for 2 years. I said, I tried it, Lord. I gave it a shot. It didn't work out. Thanks for coming. And he kept knocking on the door, the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And at 46, I entered the seminary in the summer of 2013.
And where did you enter? What seminary?
Well, my bishop gave me the choice to start here in Florida, but the minor seminary in Miami, although I had a college degree, I would have had to take philosophy. And all the men, they're good guys, but they were half my age.
Yes.
So I said, I'll go up to just outside of Boston.
Is that where Father Nick Zralik went also?
Yeah, we were in seminary for 2 years.
His
first 2 years were my last 2 years.
Okay. So you knew him before you came here, before he came here.
Yes. Yeah. And it specialized. The average age was about 48.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was there for 5 years, and I did it backwards. I spent the winters up north and the summers in Florida for 5 years.
Any particular reason why you did that?
Well, the
just schooling. Because that's when
was. We would come home in the summertime.
I love hearing people who have theology degrees talking about being forced to take philosophy, because it's so important for you to be able to think things through. And if you don't really study that thought process that comes in philosophy, then you're kind of bouncing around by everybody's opinion that you hear about different theological questions. And it's really better to be able to think for yourself.
Yeah, the seminary where I studied, they have an indult, which is a special permission where you can begin immediately in theology.
Uh-huh.
I took the 1 year of pre-theology. It was the best decision I ever made. Because the professor, he passed away a few years ago.
Mm.
He was a scholar in Jacques Maritain. That's what he wrote
his
dissertation on.
Yes,
he was a fantastic, very faithful, fervent Catholic who pulled no punches. And he made sure that we really, got the material.
So you consider yourself a much clearer thinker now because of having studied that thing. I remember taking philosophy classes, and I remember thinking, this is really delicious, and these are really cool words that I know what they mean now, but you don't realize what it's doing to your thinking process when you're studying it, because you are learning to process and discern. You said the word discernment. I know I'm going off to the side now, but we just did a beautiful class in year two at Encounter Ministries on discernment.
Mm.
It was Ignatius.
Yeah. I remember that
14
class.
Steps, and it was, you're going like, whoa, I didn't know you could actually think this way and think your way through this. So we'll talk about that some more.
Yeah, but that's actually, you mentioned Encounter. That was the first time I learned about Encounter was in the seminary.
Up there in Boston?
In 2016, one of my classmates came back from, it was Easter break, and he was just all on fire. Have you ever heard of this? I said, no, what is it? So we watched the video, Fearless.
Yes.
Outstanding. You can find it online. And that was really, I want to do that.
I want to recommend that to our listeners now, Catholic or non-Catholic. If you're listening to Living Catholic, go online. I think it's on YouTube. And look for the video, Fearless. And you will see what a difference it makes in people's lives when somebody is willing to get out there and speak the truth in love. Just anywhere, on the street, in a gathering, anywhere.
And you talk about discernment, so I was asked by Kim Engel to be the spiritual director for the Palm Beach campus of Encounter Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how amazing the Lord is. So on Holy Thursday, Jesus was present in the Blessed Sacrament, It was 11:30 p.m. at the parish where I was serving. And so in a half hour, we were going to repose Jesus for the Triduum. And I'm in the back corner of the church on a kneeler where no one could really see me. And I'm facing the altar and I'm speaking to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I've been asked to be the spiritual director for Encounter Ministries. I don't know much about it. It sounds good to me. I don't know. I need a little light here, please. Give me some help. As I was making that prayer, I looked across the church and in walks, at the very moment, Kim Engel walked in.
And she saw you and she walked right over?
No, she didn't.
It was God saying, yes, I want you to do what she asked you to do.
Yeah, at the time, she was a mother of three, a wife and a mother. What are the odds that you can get out of the house at 11:30 p.m.
for
a half hour of...
So
it wasn't a coincidence that happened. Okay. And I said, okay, well, I guess that's my answer.
And it's been all gravy ever since, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But you just went through the school yourself. You just finished 2 years of the school yourself.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk some more about the Encounter School. Father Frank is now priest in residence at St. Helens Parish. If you did want to hear anything more about the Encounter School from him, you could send him a message here or call the parish and they'll tell you how to get in touch with him. Father Frank is, again, new to our parish. He's also a brand new priest. So, like I said, we're breaking him in. We've broken in other priests. Do you know who the last priest was that we broke in, Father?
As long as you don't break him down.
The last one we broke in was Father Hernandez Alfredo.
Oh,
he was a baby priest and an adult vocation when he came here. And he has just blessed so many people in his life. Now he's the rector of the seminary and teaching other young men to become priests like him. Okay, so your family, your parents, your brothers, sisters, where are they? And are they okay with you being a priest and all that? How's your family life been affected by your accepting priesthood?
Yeah, well, they were all accepting of when I joined the Franciscan order. They understood when I left. Like I said, my sister said, it's about time when I entered the seminary. But that's why we have our faith, to keep us strong in difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
Before I came here, I'm sure you're probably aware. So I reported here July 1st. My mother passed away June 10th.
We heard that you
Saturday,
were going
June
through,
10th.
We heard through Encounter that you were going through
yeah,
that.
And 2 years before that, my brother passed away. And 11 months before that, my sister passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
You're not that old, Father. Why are your brothers and sisters being taken by the Lord?
My sister passed away from MS.
Oh,
complications.
Oh, wow.
And my brother had a bad reaction, just a reality to this vaccine.
Oh,
10 hours later,
Lord.
He was dead.
Oh, Lord. Praise God for giving you the faith to get through that. And you're probably the one your family turned to for.
Yeah, it's just, it's the Lord's keeping me strong. And like St. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith.
Yes. Okay. Let's switch gears a little bit and start talking about your experience with the Encounter School. Now, you had not taken any of the classes when Kim asked you to be spiritual director, or had you already started?
No, I had attended, I can never remember the name, it was a four-day event at the Cathedral of St. Ignatius.
Oh, yeah. The Awakening, was that what
it
was called?
Yeah, Father Matthias Dalen was there, and I got to meet him briefly.
He's one of the Franciscan graduates that became a priest and founded this ministry.
And I had a very powerful experience that was on a Friday. It was the Feast of St. Joseph.
Ah.
And I had a very powerful experience that night. And I was like, wow, this is, what did Jesus say? You will know them by their fruits.
Ah.
And there was actually a religious sister who was healed of TMJ, clicking of the jaw.
Yes, yes.
She was healed of that that night, among other healings.
Mm-hmm. Healing internal and physical, but mostly internal and spiritual healing is a big focus of the Encounter School.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't really take any of the classes before she asked me, and I told her that, and she said, that's okay. So
you don't say no to Kim. Have you noticed that, Father?
Yeah, not often.
No.
If at all.
She is so on fire and is a great leader for us. She's so shares her personal experience so easily, and We're gonna get to talk to her about her Catholic experience shortly too. So, Father, you've been at St. Helens now since July 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
July, August, September, 2.5 months. Do you want to stay or you want to leave and go somewhere else?
I want to do what the Lord is asking me to do.
Oh, that was a good answer.
Yeah. That's one of the things about discernment that many people don't understand. When you discern freely and honestly, the Lord may lead you in a direction you didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be ready for that.
I'd say that's pretty much most of the time, wouldn't you?
Not in my experience.
No?
Every now and then. I don't think it's every time.
Okay. Well, I don't know why I'm teaching music for 40 years, because I'm not a musician. It was a hobby, but he's got me doing that. I think it's because I witnessed to the kids. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason. But anyway, okay, I have good news. Kim has just arrived for this wonderful recording, and we're handing her the microphone, and we're going to ask you to introduce yourself, Kim, not about Encounter just yet, but just about your own faith walk. Like, have you always been Catholic? I've heard it before, I know, but refresh our memories.
All right, thank you for having me. It's good to be with you. I'm glad I made it.
Yes.
Yes, I'm Kim Engel. I'm the director of the Palm Beach Campus School of Encounter Ministries. I botched that completely, but you'll get it right for
okay.
me, Carolyn. And yes, I've been Catholic since birth, I guess. So you can say I'm a cradle Catholic. And my journey of faith, I think, is typical for most people that I'm meeting today, where you... if you're born Catholic, you have this struggle throughout your adolescence. And I think the typical trend has been to fall away, usually at college. And I think we see why, because of the way that secular education has been kind of grooming young people against the faith. And that was my journey as well. And so I had my period of falling away. And then I honestly believe it was the prayers of my grandmother and my grandparents and my mom, and the prayers of the rosary specifically, and the graces of Our Lady, that eventually got me to come back to the faith. And through the miraculous intercession of all the saints and angels and the Holy Spirit, especially, I think I had some encounters with him that just were too undeniable that God is real. And the Catholic faith is the tradition of faith that I am called to, not only to live out fully my discipleship in Jesus, but also to help others become empowered to do the same. So I'm hoping this trend is going to change, and we're going to see young people staying with the faith as they encounter the real Jesus, the real living Holy Spirit, and become, you know, sort of more emboldened in that truth that is out there. I think young people are tired of being lied to.
Amen. Amen. So. They're tired. They're tired of being given half the package and not the rest.
Yeah. So I hope my story doesn't have to be the trend, and it's just, you know, the past, and we can start a new tradition. That's the hope.
Well, God promised us if we love him and serve him, he will save us and our families. So I'm looking out there for my own children. My son is practicing now. My daughter is not. And I pray for her every single day. Praise God. He's got her in his hand. He loves her more than I do. All right. We've been talking with Father Frank about his faith walk. And inadvertently, we started talking about Encounter and how you walked up and asked him to be a spiritual director. And he wasn't sure he wanted to do it. And then you showed up at a critical moment when he was in adoration, and he got his answer. So he said yes to you and to God at that point. So I'd like to ask you now, Kim, to tell us, how did Encounter Ministries get into your life? I was trying to explain that to Mary Ann, our receptionist out there, and I couldn't remember how you connected with Encounter.
It was part of my return to faith. I had gone through a school of Christian formation, and, you know, kind of coming back from graduating college, going through a divorce, and sort of hitting what I felt like was the rock bottom for my faith, and wondering, you know, am I even still Catholic? Because I'm divorced, you know, and I've pretty much denied Jesus for the last, you know, 6 or 8 years of my life. So am I even still Catholic? But that's all I knew. So thankfully, you know, it is true, the way that you bring up your children, they do return back to it. When they start to question, they have a foundation to go back to and start again from. And that's what happened with me. And so my journey of returning to the faith really began with kind of starting over. So instead of going back to RCIA, I didn't know that was an option then, that you could actually audit an RCIA class, even if you'd been confirmed or gone through it before. So I found School of Christian Formation,
which is an adult school offered by the diocese. Oh, many parishes up and down the coast. There's 12 classes you can take. They're basic subjects in the Catholic faith.
Correct. Yeah. And I enjoyed it so immensely, because at the end of it, I realized not only does the Catholic Church have this vibrant love and tradition of following Jesus in the Holy Spirit, but we have, like, not only permission, but we also are called to make a life of discipleship in power, in truth, in the Spirit. So I really had this hunger to know, okay, well, how do you live in the Spirit? How do you live with this Holy Spirit?
So did you ask him what he wanted you to do?
I did.
Uh-oh.
That was my first encounter with sort of hearing God and trying to trust, you know, that this voice that you're hearing is really something beyond yourself, and that it's a good voice. So School of Christian Formation gave me a lot of reasoning and head knowledge, but I didn't really have any practical application as to how to pray and how to encounter the Holy Spirit. So I did ask the Lord, where do I go? And at the time, there wasn't encounter. There wasn't anything really out there that I had encountered. There were some charismatic movements,
yes,
but a lot of people, especially young people, I feel like we're not drawn to them.
The young people think that the word charismatic is spelled O-L-D.
Yeah, there is that stigma about it. Yeah. And then also it's unknown, especially if you didn't grow up in a charismatic family.
Right.
So
right.
You're really, I think when you're coming from a point of wanting God to answer you, you know, what is truth? Like we do the pilot move, what is truth, right? And Jesus is like, well, I am truth. And not only that, but here's the church that I created and I need you to know her. So when you're in that pursuit, I think it's very typical for people to want to just stay in the tried and true. And so the charismatic can be a little bit unnerving
yep.
for many.
Yep.
And I'm sad to say, I mean, I may have encountered through that path. Absolutely. I know a lot of people come to our campus today through the charismatic movement. So yes, could that have happened? Absolutely. But I actually ended up finding encounter through pursuing kind of interactions with non-Catholic groups.
Okay.
Kind of got my feet wet there and allowed them to instruct me in the way of the Holy Spirit. And it was through sort of conflicts with how they taught and what I knew about what the Catholic Church taught that I wrestled in this conflict of, okay, well, how much of this is really the right way?
Yeah.
And so in that conflict, I found myself once again asking a question, Lord, okay, if you contain the fullness here in the Catholic Church, then you need to provide the way for people to know your Holy Spirit.
So you order him around too. We were saying you don't say no to Kim when she asks you to do something.
I learned that you can be real with God. I mean, he can take it.
Yeah.
He can take it. He's a good dad. He knows that you're upset. He knows that you're angry or frustrated. And I think, you know, a life of really being a son or daughter is learning how to communicate with your father and be real. So yeah, I do bring him some tough questions, and always he's so like kind and merciful and just wise in his response. And, I think he labors with me, you know, he delays and labors with me mercifully, but, he did. He answered that question. So right at about the same time I asked it, I found out he'd been raising up Encounter in the same time that I was seeking.
In
he
Palm
was
Beach?
Raising up Encounter in Michigan.
In Michigan.
Through Patrick
okay.
Rice
okay.
and Father Phelan. So it was actually, I found out at a conference later on that we the three of us and many others started our kind of journey toward Encounter.
How did you hear about Encounter if it's in Michigan and you're in Florida?
Through Instagram was how I found
no
them
kidding.
Initially. Yeah. And at the same time, there was another apostolate that was growing in California called Stone to Flesh, and they have a little bit more of a orthodox approach. So honestly, it came down to, you know, where do you want me to go? And Michigan was closer. And it was also where I was born. So my mom was very supportive of taking us.
At that time, you had how many children?
And I had the two.
Two,
yeah.
Okay.
Two, my oldest and my son and my daughter. So we made a road trip and we went and checked it out for ourselves. And it was a prophetic school that was happening that weekend. And that was my first experience with Encounter. And I knew immediately when they began teaching the gift of prophecy and how the church sees it and how it becomes a necessary tool for the life of a believer in discerning God's voice and fulfilling our destiny and our mission in Christ. The way that they unfolded it, it just, that was it. For me, I just knew, okay, finally we have something that is credible and solid in the Catholic Church that we can teach others how to walk this truth.
Wow. I'm going to ask, Kim, I'm going to ask you to give the mic back to Father Frank because he's got to leave shortly and I want to give him a chance to add to your witness about Encounter. What he thought about, I know you asked him to become a spiritual director, but he hadn't taken any classes yet. So, Father Frank, what did you know about Encounter, and how did you learn about it outside of just taking the classes?
Yeah, well, like I said, I saw the Fearless video in seminary, and then there was that event in 2019. What was it called? I can't remember the name of it.
They came and did like a March conference down
here. Yeah, it was a four-day event, and I had a very powerful experience on the Feast of St. Joseph, like I said.
So Father Matt came down himself and the others?
Father Phelan and
Dr. Mary Healy.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah,
wow. Okay.
Pretty,
yeah.
Amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things that I learned very quickly is, you know, you read the Acts of the Apostles, that's still going on today.
Are you kidding me? The Acts of the Apostles is still going on today?
Signs and wonders.
Wow.
I saw them myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things too is it's a great help for priests because when someone goes through the school and they're ministering in their parish, you know, it's not about forming a new community. It's about them going back to their community. And they tell the priests or they suggest to the people as they discern, you know, hey, listen, maybe something you need to get rid of in confession. And
yes.
My point is, imagine if you had parish after parish after parish living in a state of grace. You want to talk about evangelization.
I'm seeing this map of the United States from afar. I'm seeing little lights coming on everywhere.
Yeah.
And the light is spreading and spreading and spreading.
Well, the light is on in the confessional and the light is on with the Holy Spirit. So.
Right.
It's a twofold plan.
So, Father Frank, you're the spiritual director. What role does that open up to you? We have about 2 minutes left to finish this segment, so if you could kind of tell us what you see yourself doing.
You know, usually a spiritual director sometimes, let's say, is the watchdog for Orthodoxy. I haven't really had to do much with that because they're right on point, everybody that's involved. You know, for example, when we have various evenings other than the class, I'll go there and I'll preside over adoration and confession.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes, like the first time I said to Kim, I'm sorry, I was on a prayer team. She said, well, you were doing your own healing over in the confessional.
So yeah.
You were still involved.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, one time people brought in, I can't even tell you how many items to bless, and we all prayed together, and I blessed everything.
Like religious items,
yeah,
rosaries
salt,
and medals?
Water.
And, yeah, okay.
With the old rite exercise and then bless it. And I've had people come to me, you know, just talking about various things that they're struggling with, how it relates to their faith, which has an effect on, you know, they're going through the school.
Okay. So kind of like spiritual direction, but not a every week or every month gathering. It's a momentary, like the Lord brought me to you to ask you this question and you shed light on it.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, one of the students told me I was moving before I moved.
What do you mean moving? You mean
physical? So I was at my last parish, and she said, Father, I need to speak to you, please. And I said, okay. So we spoke, and she said, I don't know why, but the Lord is putting on my mind five. The number five is coming to be very strong, and you're going to be moving, but the Lord says, be at peace. And there was no way that she could have known that I was at my current parish for 5 years. And she said, I don't know why the number five is coming to me, but you're going to be moving. So the Lord is saying, you've been here 5 years. I'm going to bring you somewhere else.
We love the gift of prophecy in the Encounter School and also in the Charismatic Renewal. It's God letting you know things that you wouldn't know otherwise. Okay, we're going to be taking a break here, and we'd like you all to stay tuned with us. You'll hear a couple of advertisements that support our radio station. This is Carolyn Dean. You've been listening to Living Catholic. We're speaking with Father Frank D'Amato and Kim Engel, who are of the Encounter School of Ministry for the Diocese of Palm Beach. And Father Frank is also living here, and we get blessed by him, at St. Helens. If you would like to get in touch with them, we'll give you the information in the second segment on how you can get in touch with the Encounter School. God bless you. We'll be right back. We're back again with Living Catholic radio program on Divine Mercy Radio. I'm here with Kim Engel and Father Frank D'Amato, who are, Kim is the leader and Father Frank is a spiritual director and a graduate, I might add, of the Encounter School of Ministry that takes place at the Cathedral in West Palm Beach. Several of us from Vero Beach and Sebastian drive down there every Monday to take our classes. We are in year two and looking forward to what we're going to be learning and asked to do in this process. So, Kim, what else would you like to share with us about the Encounter School of Ministry?
I think that it would just be really good to encourage people at this point that if you're hesitant at all about stepping out in faith and learning about the spiritual gifts, that you remember this is the desire of Jesus. I mean, the standard of his ministry, if we look at the scriptures, he desired for his disciples to go out two by two, mm-hmm. to heal the sick, mm-hmm. cleanse lepers, mm-hmm. right? Deliver people from demons, to encourage, to prophesy, all of these things. And so I think a common objection we hear from most people is, well, you know, I thought that Jesus kind of rebukes signs and wonders.
He made it sound like you shouldn't be chasing after that stuff.
Right. We'd be afraid to become like Simon the Sorcerer, in a sense. So this is actually a common objection we get from a lot of pastors and church leadership and some, you know, students who are just concerned as to whether this lines up with the Catholic tradition and faith. And the reality is, the answer is there for us in the scripture. And most people are quoting, I think, Matthew 16:4, where Jesus talks about only an evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign.
But who was he talking to?
Well, that's the key. And if we want to take scripture by itself, just, you know, in parcel and kind of only look solely at that scripture, you're going to get an interpretation that's not quite the full picture.
Right.
So thankfully, our Catholic tradition allows us to see the full picture.
In fact, it insists that we see the full picture.
Exactly. So it wants us to look what was happening before Jesus said this and who was he speaking to? And you're right, Carolyn, he was speaking to an audience that was very different than the audience he was speaking to in the previous paragraphs. Just before this question is asked of him and he has this response, he's healing people.
Yeah.
He's feeding 5,000 people. And the interesting part is he didn't do it once, he did it twice. And if we look at where the miracle happens in this feeding of the fish to the people, it's happening in the hands of the disciples.
Yes. Have you ever tried to imagine what that would have been like? Like you hand a guy a fish and he takes it and there's still a fish in your hand. So you hand it to another guy. There's still a fish in your hand. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's crazy to think we read that story or hear that story so often in Mass and we, you know, don't linger, I think, long enough in that moment to realize that miracle would not happen without the hands and feet of the disciples.
Beautiful. Yes.
And so that in itself is, you know, highlighting to us his standard of ministry is to use his disciples.
Yes.
To create and to multiply the signs and wonders for people around us. And, you know, he does this not once but twice. And then so by the time this objection of, you know, an evil and unfaithful generation seeks the sign comes into play, he's being asked now by the Pharisees and the Sadducees this question. And the key here is when you look at the scripture, it says very clearly they came to test him. They didn't come seeking to be healed. They didn't come like the crowd before seeking to be fed. They came to test him, to trap him, and they came in pride. They already had their answer in their head. They didn't care what his response was. And so, you know, rightly so. I mean, he's God. He can choose when he wants to heal. But I think the example here is actually for us to see that when someone comes to you who is evil intended, unfaithful, and not really seeking healing, not really seeking repentance, not really truly seeking the gift of the Holy Spirit, yeah, no sign shall be given. So in ministry, I think this is kind of permission for us to see, you know, are we walking our life in complete relationship with God's will?
Wow, that's a big little statement you made right there.
It is. It's actually instruction for us who are walking in signs and wonders, who
so
have given us.
You're saying for someone to come again, for our listening audience, we're talking about the Encounter School of Ministry, whose focus is largely on dissolving barriers between you and God, either physical or mental or emotional or spiritual. If people come there, kind of like they want to go to a vending machine and put a quarter in and get their healing, he's not going to respond to that. There has to be a willingness for what is stopping you to be broken and freed from you, so that he can relate to you directly and not through your own pride or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, does he have the power to do that for someone who's doing it? Absolutely. Can he work through other people and demonstrate his signs and wonders when there's absolutely no repentance? I think we see that with false prophets. We see that with performers. We see that with sorcery. We understand that all power comes from Jesus alone. All power. So if someone's working,
he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me.
Exactly. So if someone's working in these powers and miracles and healings are happening, it's happening by God's allowance. Okay. But I can tell you it's happening for the benefit of someone watching that, because he's doing it to move on hearts. He's allowing that to happen through a person who maybe isn't walking in perfect purity or perfect holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing it because he has revelation of whom he wants to reconcile himself to. And so he'll allow that healing to happen through, you know, an evil generation, so to speak. But here we're seeing the instruction to believers is that Jesus discerned the spirit that they were approaching him in. This isn't a rebuke to believers to not open themselves up to the Holy Spirit, but rather proof that there are times when the Holy Spirit himself will refuse to work because of the attitude of the person's heart who's approaching him. And we see that again when he goes home. He's unable to do any miracles because of the lack of faith of those in his hometown. So this is not a credible objection to seeking the spiritual gifts and wanting to learn more about them and how the Catholic faith supports their use from the time of the early disciples.
Can you imagine? I've enjoyed watching The Chosen. They do a lot of little things there, and we know that everything they do is not strictly in the Bible,
correct.
But they've made the claim. I mean, they've given us the knowledge that they know that, and they're just enhancing it to make it more human. And I enjoy after Jesus changed the water to wine, he goes back to his hometown, and one of his neighbors comes up and said, "Hey, can you do that to my well too?" You know, I mean, they took it as they knew it was miraculous. But they weren't coming to him and saying, "I need you to do that for me now, you know, do it for me." They were taking him as who he was, and they were understanding that he was God, and yet not making demands on him like the Pharisees did.
I think what you brought up is a great point, because it's good for us to remember, you know, the response of Peter at the sign of the miracle in the boat. When Jesus said, you know, cast your net over, and he'd just gotten back, he's tired. He's like, oh my gosh, okay, fine.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to do this. Okay, this guy thinks he knows what he's doing, right? So I'm going to do it. And then when this miracle happens, you know what his response is?
Depart from me, for I am a sinful man.
It's repentance. So the miracle brings repentance.
That makes me cry.
Maybe if we were to renew our mind on this subject and to realize that through our hands and feet, God is trying to reach out and reconcile himself with our brother, with our sister, to whomever we are able to touch and look around to, maybe that would inspire us more to be less afraid of the signs and wonders and to be more compassionate towards the fact that God wants to bring repentance and reconciliation through us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he wants to have them in awe of us. He wants us to allow ourselves to be participants in his relationship with his sons and daughters.
Teresa of Avila, he has no hands on earth but ours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. If we decide, it's our decision, we can decide to practice the virtues, practice the spiritual gifts, and we will be the face of Christ to those in the world. And we can decide also not to show the virtues and not to show the spiritual gifts. And then there will be one less little Christ for the world to see.
Ooh, that's very sad what you just said.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to ask Father Frank to jump in on this conversation. We've been talking, Father Frank, about why the Encounter School might not be accepted in some places because of what it teaches and what it asks people to get themselves involved in and how to minister to others. Some objections to the Encounter School. Can you come up with anything? Have you heard anything?
Objections by people to enroll or people to just go to be healed?
Oh, good question. I'm not sure what I'm asking. To be enrolled.
Well, I'm sure you talked about, I'm sure you talked about the three obstacles to healing. I'm sure you covered that, right?
No.
Yeah, so basically unrepentance, failure to admit your sins, confess them, unforgiveness, and a lack of faith.
You know who's coming to my mind right now? Jason, that was healed from Parkinson's because he heard someone preaching. He heard the priest that has the relics preaching those three things, and that changed his heart, and he was healed.
Yeah, it's powerful. Yeah. And, you know, in a certain way, those three things, if you can believe it, make God powerless. He can't. Not that he's not going to force his grace on us.
So you're saying if I've got somebody that I have a grudge against and every time I think of them, I think evil thoughts or negative thoughts or just I don't want to hear about it, I don't want to think about it, that can stop me from being healed. That's what
That's
you're saying.
Correct. Puts up a wall.
All right. So how does the Encounter School try to remedy that?
Well, that's what the students go to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe some people might be intimidated to enroll because they're not familiar. I wasn't very familiar that much with the charismatic movement and, you know, signs and wonders and all these gifts. You know, what does St. Paul say? Everyone has their gifts. You have to discern them. That's one of the things you learn, is discerning your gifts.
When we say gifts, the thing that comes to my mind is things like the charismatic gifts, like prophecy, healing, tongues, but there's also virtue gifts. And we started to talk about that last Monday. You asked us faith, hope, and charity, or you asked us what were the three virtues you receive at baptism. Those are theological virtues. Those are God-given virtues. Mm-hmm. Other virtues, like kindness, is something somebody has to teach you how to be kind, but there's grace involved in that, right, Father? Mm-hmm. When you receive a virtue, nobody can be kind without grace. So God wants us to have tons of virtues. Like how many? You said 70? 40 different virtues that help us be better witnesses to other people about our faith. And that's part of what the Encounter School is going to be teaching us.
And especially the cardinal virtues. We need the fortitude now more than ever.
Yes.
Times in which we're living.
Prudence. Talk about prudence.
Yeah.
Yes. All of us of our, well, not all of us, Kim, you're very young. We learned all this stuff in the Baltimore Catechism, the names of all the virtues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But Encounter does more than just teach you the names of those gifts. They show you how those gifts can be manifest in your life and be a witness to other people. And again, the goal is not to bring people into the Catholic Church or bring people into the Encounter movement. The goal is to bring them to Christ. Am I right, Kim?
That's absolutely correct. Our goal, our mission is to draw from the riches of our Catholic identity and to teach, equip, and activate disciples to demonstrate the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So our very mission is to help anyone who's coming to the program, to the school, to feel not only understanding and knowledge, which are also virtues, of the of what the church teaches on the spiritual gifts, but also to feel equipped and empowered to then use them in their day-to-day influence. So this isn't just necessarily for someone who's involved in ministry work, because a lot of people think, you know, I have to be a ministry leader to go to Encounter. Well, actually, that's not the case. These are for people, you know, mom and dad. If you have coworkers, you have a ministry. If you have a family, you have a ministry. If you are involved in ministry, you have a ministry. Because wherever you are called to influence other people, you are called then to be Christ's hands and feet and heart and his love and compassion. So that is your sphere of influence. And if we can equip them and encourage you to be able to speak up more boldly, it's not to convert or to make new catechumens. It's to actually just to even be able to start the conversation. Hey, do you know Jesus? And would you, you know, when's the last time you've encountered his goodness? You know, most of us don't even have the understanding and knowledge, much less the courage, to be able to just even have this dialogue with people mm-hmm. about Christ and his goodness. So the fact that, you know, we see homeless people on the street, how many times do we go by and we think, oh, I'd like to be the person who could do something meaningful for them? And Christ is like saying, I'm counting on you. You are that person. And what if you just needed a little bit of encouragement or some guidance on the kinds of tools that you have available to you that will now make you meaningful in that respect? We can do more than pray. I mean, Christ is very clear in the scriptures. It's not just the corporal works of mercy that we're to demonstrate, mm-hmm. give clothing, give food, but we are actually called, Aquinas himself says it is actually necessary for disciples to use the spiritual gifts in order to attain to the fulfillment of faith. Like for most of us, we probably will have difficulty with fortitude and endurance if we have not also found strength from using the spiritual gifts.
The only way to get fortitude is to be challenged.
Yes, we have to be challenged.
Depend on the grace, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that we could continue to talk about. Like I know you're one of the presenters for the Encounter School, and you guys have all of this worked out in a very organized way, and you present these things one at a time. And I am constantly challenging you, Kim, because you'll say something, and I'll go, wait, but what about? And you always go, it's coming. Trust me, it's coming. So I know you have a very, very well-balanced and well-worked-out program. We want to encourage people, again, to think about the Encounter School. Have you been looking for a way to get deeper into your faith? This doesn't mean that it's a competition with your parish programs. We definitely want you to continue whatever ministry you're in your parish. But this Encounter is a school. It's a school that educates you to different ways of thinking about stuff that you thought weren't important or that you thought you already knew all about or knew how to use in your life. So,
yeah, it's our hope that, you know, especially pastors and parishes in particular will see us as a resource and a tool to help strengthen their particular community. So it's like Father said before, we're not looking to draw anyone into a new community. What we're here to do is enhance the communities that are already at work in building the kingdom. But so often we find challenges with, you know, ministry leaders who just, you know, are concerned with how do I keep my leaders engaged? How do I help strengthen and encourage them? And so we've found ourselves in a position where we're actually counseling ministries on how to equip and guide their leadership into more meaningful encounters with the Holy Spirit so that they can have better
God's
mission.
Plan.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like in this moment, like we're a ministry to the ministries or an apostolate to the apostolates, because that's really what Encounter is here to do. It's to help nurture the body of Christ into being the full bride. And we're here with not just the school, but our 2-day schools that we offer. We can come to any parish, anywhere in the diocese, and we can offer that to your community. If you want to know more specifically about the prophetic gift or healing or identity in Christ, we offer those tools. We also offer our transformation nights, which are mm-hmm. open to the public. And we try to bring in dynamic speakers to engage with kind of relevant topics that are happening. You know, like right now, I think it would be really great to hear from Father at some point on, you know, how to hear God's voice and to discern the times that we're in. So our transformation nights offer us an opportunity to engage with non-students and bring guests. And, you know, we have a time of prayer mm-hmm. and adoration mm-hmm. and time for ministry and demonstration of the gifts at the same time. So it's a place to become encouraged as a disciple.
If someone is listening to this and they're thinking, well, maybe I'm not the person, but maybe somebody from my parish might like to do that. How can people get information privately, like on their computer at 11 o'clock at night? Where do they go to get more information?
The best place to go is our website, encounterschool.org/Palm Beach. Okay. And everything about the school is there. You can sign up for our e-newsletter, which will give you information about our local events from the Palm Beach campus. And that's probably the best way to stay in touch is to go ahead and sign up with that newsletter.
So it's Encounter School.
Encounterschool.org/Palm Beach.
Can people trust you not to bombard them with emails if they go
Absolutely.
On your website and
yeah.
send
I'm
your email?
Yeah, I'm not a huge email sender. So you may get some from us once a week during like the events.
Yeah,
but then
yeah.
it's, you know, usually once a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's free. They don't have to pay for that.
Absolutely.
Communication free. To come around. Okay.
Yep. And we do offer a portal for people who are interested in supporting students. We have a lot of requests for scholarships. Okay. So that is out there. You can actually apply for a scholarship through our website. You can also donate if you'd like to give to specifically support someone who is in need of a scholarship. We offer that as a function on the website as well.
Would it be really ungracious to ask you how much it costs?
No, not at all. It's actually on the website, so you'll be able to read all of that information right there. I think the current rate is $250 a quarter, and there's a discount if you're able to pay it all up front for the year. And I have to say that I think that comes to like $30 a day for the, you know, the quarter.
A class.
$30 a class. That's correct. $30 a class. And if you think about it, that's like your Disney Plus subscription. So like, you know, if you can give to Disney, you know, why not give to yourself? And this is a gift that your whole family is going to really enjoy, because for you to be able to walk more fully in your faith is going to influence your children and like we said, your coworkers and everyone around you. So make the investment. It's totally worth it. This is actually really cheap, in my opinion, if you look at curriculum. This is a great value.
I just wanted to say that over if you take the 8 quarters over a period of 2 years, it's about $2,000. You know, plus a little gas to get where you're going and come back again. However, God has asked us in the book of Malachi, Father, you can correct me if I'm wrong, to tithe. He's asked us to take 10% of everything he gives us and give it back. So you can consider that part of your tithe, you know. I mean, I'm not saying don't give it to your parish, but after you give to your parish, then this could be part of your tithe, a gift to God, so he can bless you.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that I recently heard a quote from St. Teresa of Avila, and I never heard before, and it's, you know, just the power of prayer. God plus one equals an army.
Ooh, that's great. That would be a great banner to
God
make.
God plus one is an army.
God plus one is an army. I love that. That's beautiful.
The power of prayer.
Yeah.
Calling down the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful. Teresa of Avila was famous for levitating at the grocery store. The other sisters didn't want to go with her to the store because, you know, she would see water or something and get all into God and levitate. She was a
mystic. You know, one of the other things, too, is when you have people that have gone through the school, that can help the pastor discern what the other gifts, charisms are from people in the parish.
That's true.
To help out.
As a pastor, a man who was in charge by Catholic teaching of all the souls in his area, not just the ones that are members of his church, that's a heavy responsibility. And I would think any pastor would be really happy to know that there's this group of people that have these gifts that they want to give away to share to help other people come to Christ.
Tithing their gifts.
Their gifts. There you go.
I'm not the pastor, but it's, you know, that's the importance of sound teaching.
Okay. We have just about 3 minutes left. So Kim, I want to do some practical stuff. Or Father, I don't, either one of you can do it. What kind of schedule are we on? I know you're saying it's a 2-year thing, but it's not every week and it's not every day. What is the schedule to participate in the Encounter School?
It is a 2-year program. It's 8 quarters. You get 4 quarters in the first year. And we do meet Monday nights from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. We do break around Advent and Lent.
Okay.
So we want to follow the liturgical breaks of the church. And we pretty consistently meet throughout September through May. And then
okay,
we break.
So it's 8 classes times 4 is 32 classes per calendar year, approximately.
Approximately.
And
I
there's
think one
52,
quarter has like 9
There's 52
classes,
weeks, so you get 20 weeks off somewhere in there.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm a math brain. That's how I process things. Okay, so, and when you graduate, you are given some sort of certificate, and what are you expected to do after you graduate?
Yes, so we do offer a certificate program, and for graduates who are seeking that certificate, we invite them to participate in a year 2 ministry project. And the hope is that through your time in Encounter and your time in prayer with the Holy Spirit, that you'll really have a clear understanding of his mission, where he wants you in the mission field specifically. So we've had graduates that have come back to help us teach on campus. They're helping us grow the Encounter, you know, just our reach in the diocese and helping that way. But we've also had others go and they go back to their ministry and they implement certain tools that we've given to them to help them grow their leadership teams or to bring in some closer reconciliation with the ministry. that they're involved with. Others have started new ministries. So really, that's between you and the Holy Spirit, but there's going to be something.
Wouldn't it be cool to have a map, a projected map that starts with the school and shows everything coming out of it, and then every, you know, one layer of branches, then each of those has a whole layer of branches in each of those, until it's just thousands of
There's
wonderful
no
things
doubt.
Going on.
That's definitely happening. Yeah. I think especially as we graduate each class, anyone even who comes to a transformation night or a healing service is going to get that effect to be kind of affected by the tree or part of a leaf on the tree.
Yeah, leaf. I like it.
I definitely feel like if you get a chance to just be a part of our encounter experience in any way, you're going to see that you're rooted in and grafted into that abiding tree of Christ in some manner and be part of that kingdom.
We haven't mentioned something very dear to my heart, so I'm going to mention it in our last minute here. Praise and worship is part of your meetings. You have this beautiful lady, two ladies that come down to Palm Beach, and sometimes it's on video, sometimes it's live, but there's always music lifting your hearts and giving you a chance to connect with the Lord, especially at the transformation nights. Okay, registration for this year's classes is now closed, but you are invited to see what the school is like by attending a School of Healing event Friday night, October 20th, and Saturday, October 21st at the Cathedral. Go to encounterschool.org/Palm Beach/#events and see all the info you could hope for. The entire program is featured. You can meet Kim and Father Frank, discover schedules and costs, meet the founders, and even view the Fearless video we mentioned. Father Frank, would you give us your blessing as we close?
Yes, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. God bless all of you. Get involved. Encounter. Give me the address again, Kim. Encounterschool.org/Palm Beach. God bless you. Have a beautiful week.